Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a live special edition of Weigh In Sports. I'm your host, Brian Tarvin, joined tonight with co-host Everett Pratt. And we missed the show last night, Big E. We were ready to rock and roll last night at 9 p.m. Eastern, but it didn't work, man. What's going on with you?
Not much, man. Just working and hanging in there.
Yep, me too.
You been doing all right?
I'm doing good. Bruce in the chat room said he can hear us loud and clear. I thought we were having more issues with our show. Two nights in a row, I might have to reconsider who I'm using here. So I think we're ready to go, and it's been a long week already, and it's just Monday.
Yeah, Monday's always the worst day because you got to get jump started again.
Well, I didn't get jump started today. I'm still dead, I feel like. So, you know, Trey's not with us tonight. You know, he's one of our regulars. Chris is not with us tonight. But sad news, Trey lost his dog yesterday. His Ridgeback, Coda, been with him for 12 years. He had to put him down yesterday. He was in a lot of pain. And so I don't think Trey's ready to come on the show with us, Big E. So you understand, being an animal lover, it's hard when you lose an animal, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been through that before, and it's not ever fun, especially when you've raised children and pets. The dogs become part of the family, or, you know, some people, cats and other type of animals become part of the family, and when you lose one, it's just like losing a family member. So, yeah.
Well, he had him since he was you know, around 22 years old when he was getting out of college. So he had this dog when he graduated college, when he moved and got his first job, when he got married, when he had a child. I mean, different things in his life. So it's been, you know, 12 years is a long time to have somebody. You know, dogs are your best friend. I don't care what anybody tells you. So I know he's going through a lot tonight. So keep him in your thoughts. And we're going to get... Tonight we got a lot on the agenda, guys. We're going to talk college football, of course, you know, and while we talk college football tonight, I want to touch on the preseason top 25 a little bit, and I want to get people's opinions on who's overrated, who's underrated, or maybe who's in the right place. You know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm looking at it and I don't understand it, but Everett, we're going to go through that tonight. We're going to go through some college football, talk about the Miami Hurricanes this year, break their schedule down, and see if they have what it takes to, you know, win the ACC. ACC is not much, but still, does Miami have enough to do it? We're going to find out. And guess what else is in the news, Everett?
Penn State?
No, they're always in the news. Bounty Gate. What I'm hearing, and this could be false, I don't know for sure, but Jonathan Vilma, the Saints linebacker that was suspended for an entire season, somebody's saying that Goodell has agreed to reduce his suspension to half of a season if he drops a civil suit, I guess, against Goodell. Have you heard about that?
Not until you informed me of it earlier today. It's the first time I've heard it.
So looking at that, I mean, what in the world? I mean, Goodell's going to lose any credibility he has at all with anyone, correct, if he does this?
Well, in my opinion, Goodell don't have any credibility. So probably, yes, if he does have credibility with somebody, I would think that would weaken it severely.
Yeah, he has no credibility with me, Big E. And you know, this is going to be bad if he does agree to this. What it's saying is, hey, you know, I know you did wrong, but I'm going to lessen the severity of your penalty to make sure nothing happens to me. Or it means the other thing is maybe he doesn't have any information and he knows it's going to be exposed. So which one is it?
Well, I'm leaning towards the second. I you know, unless they've got some sort of videotape with some sort of information on it, or they've got somebody that was in the locker room that heard it or saw it, or, you know, and first of all, you know, who would be in a locker room and would, you know, come public with that and want to stay part of the NFL fraternity, I mean, that'd be like a death sentence, wouldn't it? I mean, you don't want somebody in your locker room that's going to go rat you out every time you say something or do something. I mean, so I don't think that would happen. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think he's trying to protect himself, and which makes him look even more guilty in my eyes, because I don't think that's something you could prove to begin with anyway. Football's a violent game, and you have to play it violently, and you're going to hit people hard, and if you're not hitting people hard, then you're either not doing your job or you're a cornerback. So, I'm with you. I think he's trying to protect his own hide.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is going to make him look even worse. People already hate this guy, me included. He can't stand the way he has a God complex. But I'm going to look into this story a little more. I don't want to really give too much if it's not true. They are disputing it on some sources, but the ESPN guys are loud and clear with it. So we have to trust them a little bit more. And if you want to call in tonight, the call-in number is 646-716-5564. 646-716-5564. Join us in the chat room, guys. Follow us on Twitter at WayInSports. We have a lot of ways to get in touch with us. So if you want to call in tonight and touch on anything, no matter if it's a subject we're talking about, go ahead and do it. Last Wednesday show, guys, broke a lot of records with us. It actually doubled the record we've ever had. So football season starting to heat up, I think, and people are wanting to hear some football talk. So thank you all the listeners out there. We really appreciate you listening and giving us feedback on how we're doing and what you want to talk about. So let's get started with some college football, man. I mean, it's on my mind, so I'm going to have to start off with it. Let's start off, first of all, Sammy Watkins, big-time receiver at Clemson, Everett. He's been suspended for the first two games for, I think, marijuana and some prescription drugs that were not his. So my question to you, he's going to miss Auburn. How much is this going to affect Clemson not having him in the lineup?
Well, he's probably one of the premier receivers in college football, so I'd say it would have to affect him some, if not quite a bit. You know, he's probably one of the fastest guys in college football. He has the ability to make people miss. He can catch the football. He can take kicks back. So, I mean, he's a weapon, you know, on the field. And I would think it's going to have quite a major effect on their offense. My question to you is, why would Dabo Swinney come out a month before the season starts? Why wouldn't he wait until game day or the day before he announces it? Because now Auburn doesn't have to prepare for him. Whereas if he waited...
That's a good question, Everett. That's a real good question. And my thought would be on that. We talked about this earlier, and you brought up some great points, and I still want you to bring them up, just like this point. Why wouldn't he wait to the last week? That would be great. Have Auburn practice all season for Sammy Watkins. But I think the main reason is he got pressure from upper Clemson, you know, the president, just some people like that, because all you see in the media right now, in the news, the coaches taking action on the exact same thing, suspending people, kicking them off the team. So also, don't think for a minute that these coaches, they don't use this against Clemson and Dabo Swinney, saying, see, this guy puts wins ahead of the well-being of the child in the program. He puts winning number one. And dude, you don't think Saban or Chizik or someone's going to use that in the living room of a kid?
I think they probably would, but the thing about that is the only way that I change my stance if I'm coaching is if it is actually affecting my recruiting. If I've lost a kid that I had a very good chance of getting because of that, until it affects my recruiting, I don't change. I don't do it just because I'm getting pressure or just because I think it might affect my recruiting. At the point it actually does affect my recruiting, then I change and I say, okay, I'll come out with it. And that's the only way. Unless, like you said, the president of the college or whoever might have been putting pressure on him and said, well, you're going to announce it, then I don't guess he has a choice. He's going to lose his job if he doesn't do what they tell him. But I wouldn't do it until I had to. Absolutely, without question, I would not do it unless I had to, because I want Auburn to spend as much time as possible preparing for him. So, you know, if I can get an edge by him not playing, you know, you're going to lose a great player, yes, but if I can gain some sort of edge to make him waste time preparing for a player that's not going to be on the field, I'm going to keep it, and I'm gonna keep it as long as I possibly can.
Well, Sammy Watkins last year was probably the best player in college football, even though he was a freshman. I remember watching that game with Bruce. Bruce is in the chat room. We were watching Clemson-Auburn play last year, and nobody knew who Sammy Watkins was because they played Furman and Citadel and the School of the Deaf and the Blind, I think. And then all of a sudden, Auburn goes into Clemson. And even though Auburn recruited Sammy Watkins, you know, was in the running for him, you still don't know what this kid's capable of. And they kept him hid. He had 10 catches, over 150 yards, and 2 touchdowns. In the second half, just destroyed Auburn and really was a difference in the game. So will it affect Auburn, in my opinion, or Clemson against Auburn? I really do. I think Auburn was going to win anyway. But what I think this is going to enable Auburn to do is really put pressure on Taj Boyd now and really make him have another receiver step up. I mean, they have talent on that field, don't get me wrong, but being able to single cover these receivers, Everett, you know as well as I do how big that is. Instead of having to leave a good receiver single coverage and have to double another one, now you can play straight up man on all of them.
Yeah. It makes a big difference when you can cover four receivers for four guys instead of having to drop a linebacker, you know, bring in a nickel back. You know, it makes a big difference because it means you can cover the number of receivers with the same amount of receivers you've got going out. You can cover them with the same amount of defensive players, and which leaves you open to blitz or, you know, to leave more people playing the run, you know, spy on the quarterback. A lot of different things that you can do when you don't have to double somebody or don't have to bring in a nickel back to cover. So, yeah, it makes a big difference.
Well, you know, one thing I look at Clemson, Everett, and I see they have a very inexperienced offensive line, and the Georgia Dome is going to be rocking. I don't care who has the ball. It's going to be very loud when Clemson has the ball with the Auburn fans that will be represented there. So, you know, one of the advantages Clemson had with Watkins with this inexperienced line is to be able to throw the ball very quick to him, you know, just get it and throw it out and let him create one-on-one in space. And you know as well as I do, now with Sammy Watkins out, what are they going to do? Who's going to be that guy to step up? Because Auburn's going to bring the house on Taj Boyd. I saw him running for his life last year. He doesn't make good decisions when he's under pressure. And if you saw the offense of Morris last year for Clemson, he got very predictable in his last five games. People started shutting him down. Sammy Watkins, Taj Boyd, the whole game was shut down, and you saw what West Virginia did to him. So I really think this is going to be a big loss for Clemson, and I've been waiting on them to announce it. And I hear some Auburn fans ever talking about they're glad or they're mad that he suspended, that he wants him to play. They want him to play. They want to play the best. But, hey, a win's a win. Sammy Watkins off the field, a lot better chance for Auburn to win, Everett. And I'm not going to sit here and say a lie to you.
Yeah, you got a lot better chance at winning the West or winning the national championship if you don't lose that first game. It would definitely hurt Auburn's chances. You know, even if they went 11-1 and made it to the SEC championship, you're talking about a major drop in the polls if they lose, and it's probably going to take them too far down for them to climb back up.
Well, an 11-1 SEC team that makes it to the SEC championship game and wins, I really have trouble seeing them not making it. But you're right. You lose that first game. Auburn's 25th right now in the polls. They would drop to probably 30, 35, depending on how they lost. And, you know, I look at USC this year, Oklahoma and teams. What if they don't lose? It could be the same situation in 2004,
exactly.
You know?
That's my point. That's what I'm saying. You know, USC's got one tough game on the schedule. Oklahoma, you know, they'll have to beat West Virginia, and possibly, I don't know how good Texas will be this year or not. Depends on what they get out of the quarterback. But you know, you gotta look at the two schedules that they're playing and think that, you know, if they're as good as advertised, then there's a good possibility that both of them's going to go undefeated. And in that situation, you know, if there's any way possible, they're not going to give it to an SEC school at 11-1 when there's two undefeateds out there from the Pac-12 and the Big 12, Big 10, whatever they are now. So,
and not with what happened last year, and people forget that the SEC doing this was a bad thing. The way Alabama beat LSU, I mean, it made it look terrible. And now, you know, people are wanting the SEC gone. They're wanting them removed. And if you look at the coach or the AP poll, what the top 25, they had Southern Cal ranked number one. They're trying to do everything. Someone's trying to be that genius that puts an SEC team out of the championship game and be right for the first time. I tried it last year. I have to admit, I picked Oregon, and look how that turned out.
Let me tell you this. I met a woman yesterday. My wife's family had our family reunion. And met a girl from Indianapolis. She's a big Colts fan. You'd like her. But we got to talking about SEC football, and we got to talking about the dislike. You know how me and you have always suspected that the majority of the country outside of the Southeastern Conference hates the SEC. Well, she confirmed it. She didn't personally hate it, but she said that in Big Ten country, the SEC is hated like a bad infection. I mean, you know, she said that's like a cuss word up north. You don't mention the SEC. They absolutely hate the SEC. So what our suspicions were confirmed. We are hated, but she also said that, hey, you know, if they don't like it, they need to start winning. You know, beat the SEC. I mean, that was her saying that. I didn't say it. You know, it was my wife's family reunion, so I didn't want to make any relatives mad or anything. But, you know, I just kind of listened, and she came up with that on her own. She said, hey, if they don't like it, you know, they need to learn to beat y'all. And
to be the man, you've got to beat the man.
That's exactly what you're trying to say, right?
That's exactly what I'm trying to say. And in old school terms, run the football and play defense. Quit spreading it out and throwing it 60 times.
That's exactly right. And I mean, Everett, it's, you know, I'm in Atlanta, and there's a lot of people, you know, that are in Atlanta that are professional sports fans, or they're, you know, from up north, and they pull for Rutgers or Penn State or somebody, and they despise the SEC, man. I mean, there's so much hatred for our conference, and I wrote an article on that about why it's better, why the SEC is better. And it's not just winning. That's a given. But think about the money the SEC puts into football. Like, you go to the SEC, they have the best facilities in the country ever. I don't care if you go to Vanderbilt. They're trying to make it that way. They're dumping money into it. And the coaches that come into these programs now are demanding it. So in order to get one of the best coaches in the country, you've got to make some promises to him, right?
That's exactly right.
And you have to live up to it. So when Gus Malzahn was going to Vanderbilt, you know, they wouldn't agree to what he was asking them to do. Gus Malzahn had a vision of what he thought at Auburn. This is how you win. This is how you get people to come in. And the SEC will pay for it. In return, you get a fanatical fan base that is out there every week supporting their team. I mean, we're talking about football in February here. We're talking about recruiting. I mean, there's never an off month in football when you're in the South. And I look up north, and they have fanatical fans too out west, no doubt. But it's not the same kind of intensity on game day. You know, it's like going to a golf game when you go watch UCLA play. You know, or in the SEC, I don't – if it's Kentucky, they're crazy. I mean, it's just crazy. I want to say hi to Chris Smelly. He's in the chat room tonight. Sonia Minson, Bruce Coward, Corey Bird, Jason Minson. If I'm missing anybody, we have a guest, 6607, whoever you are, welcome. So let's, if y'all want to call in, 646-716-5564. And I don't want to stay on that topic too long, but it kind of leads me into the preseason polls. And I know some people disagree with the preseason polls when I say I don't think they should be out until after the first month of the season. But how in the world are they going to make it exciting in the off season if Alabama and Michigan are playing and you don't know the ranking? You know, I see why they do that. It's to sell games. And I just don't understand. You know, it really cost Auburn in 2004. You know as well as I do, they started the season ranked 23rd, and they won out. But the thing is, Oklahoma and USC, 1-2, never lost. How are you going to pass them? How are you going to move from 23rd to second and pass a team that's undefeated? Very hard to do.
Well, that will happen this time, I believe. If the SEC's got a team that's sitting there undefeated, I don't care who it is, they're going to get a pass, I think, simply because of the dominance. I don't think you can keep an SEC team out of the championship game. Although I do believe that depth and coaching will hurt USC somewhere along the way, and I believe that Stoops will always lose a game that he shouldn't. I don't think there'll be many undefeated teams. I don't think there'll be more than two that are relevant. I mean relevant, not discounting somebody like Cincinnati or, you know, Central Florida or, you know, somebody like that. I think that, you know, if Auburn goes 13-0, I think they'll be in the championship. If Alabama goes 13-0, they'll be in the championship. You know, LSU, Georgia, you know, anybody from the SEC that goes undefeated is going to get a pass, I believe, simply because of the dominance. Until somebody
They better. They better. I mean, if you go undefeated or even one loss in the SEC and win it, as it showed last year, Alabama didn't even win their division, yet they were the best team in college football. So, I mean, you don't have to win all your games in the SEC to be the best. I mean, you're going to get beat up. You're going to turn the ball over. You're going to miss five field goals. You're just going to play stupid sometimes, and you're going to lose to a team that wasn't better but was just better that night from, you know, playing the basics. So when Alabama played them again, they didn't play stupid anymore, you know. So, but LSU had one of the best seasons I ever remember last year. If they would have won that game, that would have went down as the best of all time. Probably one of the best teams of all time. So let's run through the top 10 real quick, and we'll keep going down. Tell me, Everett, what you think. And out there listening, 646-716-5564, if you'd like to chime in with us. The top 10, Everett, number one, the LSU Tigers. I have no problem with that, except one thing, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Alabama, 2. Southern Cal, 3. Oklahoma, 4. Oregon, 5. So looking at those top five, what do you think about Oregon?
I think that is the top five. I think Oregon deserves to be there. Although I don't think they'll win the championship, I think they deserve to be there.
All right, Oklahoma again. I mean, I don't know. It's not a top 25 preseason poll if Oklahoma's not up high, isn't it?
Well, they're there now, but will they be there after 12 games? That's the question. Stoops has always managed to lose a game he shouldn't, so we'll see. You know, Texas, West Virginia, Oklahoma State. Don't discount Kansas State possibly having a chance to beat them. That big physical quarterback they've got.
Yeah, but when I look at Oklahoma, man, Oregon, I think, honestly, even with a new team, the system they're in, I think Chip Kelly's one of the best coaches in the country, and I think you're lucky to play for that guy. So I could see Oregon being up in Oklahoma's place right now. But that's as far as up as I'd move them right now. With the quarterback situation, Oklahoma, Everett, you know, you said it, they're not tough. So when you're not a tough team and you're not physical, you're bound, just like last year, Oklahoma lost to Texas Tech at home. And because they're not tough. You know, Oklahoma, when the going gets tough, you're turning the ball over, your defense is not playing up to par. Everett, if you can go run the football physically, what can you do? you can chew up clock. You can get out of that game alive if you're the tougher team. Oklahoma is never the tougher team. No matter who they play, they're not going to be the tougher team.
Well, they throw it 50 times a game.
Yep, and, you know, look at Alabama last year. They had, I mean, they blew through everybody, but if they had some bad games, they could run the football and control clock just like LSU. When you're not a physical team, you have to rely on luck. You have to rely on keeping everybody healthy, and you have to rely on just playing a better game than the other team, and you can't do that for 12 weeks. So Oklahoma will choke, and I don't know who it will be, but they're going to choke. They're not going to be in the conversation at the end, even though they just picked up a big receiver out of Penn State, a senior, one of their best receivers. So, but in turn, they lost one of their best receivers to suspension. So Oklahoma is 4, Southern Cal is 3, and in the AP poll, Everett, they're number 1. What do you think about that?
Well, my issue with Southern Cal is depth and coaching. I think they'll be fine on offense, but I think defensively the depth will hurt them. Monty Kiffin is a good defensive football coach. I just think that depth will be the issue there. And I think Barkley's probably the best quarterback in college football. I think he'll be probably the number one pick as far as quarterbacks go coming out. But I just think the depth will hurt them. Eventually they'll get into a battle where they don't play good or whatever, and you're back to your toughness issue. And they'll, you know, unless Barkley puts them on his back and wills them to win, I think they'll lose. And I think it'll probably be Oregon. But
yeah. Well, in USC, though, will that depth hurt them, Everett, in the Pac-12? Where, you know, I can see in the SEC where it's going to bother them once you start getting beat up. But in the Pac-12, is their offense is so good. Is there a defense in the Pac-12 that could really bring that depth into question, so to speak?
Well, you know, that's always been my issue with the Pac-12, why I don't give them any more respect than I do, because they don't play defense. They don't play tough physical defense. They play bend and don't break. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't trust Kiffin as a coach. I think he will do something stupid because of his arrogance, and it will cost him somewhere along the way. I don't know where. Like I said, I think it's Oregon, but it could be Stanford. I don't know. Maybe Utah. I don't even know if Utah's on their schedule or not. But I just think he'll do something dumb, and it'll cost him. And, you know, I don't put much stock in his coaching ability. Until he proves it to me, you know me, Brian. I don't give credit until you earn it. So.
Oh, I know that, Big E. I bet it 800 for you a couple of years, and you still didn't believe in me. So, yeah, I believe you when you say that, man.
Well, you know, anybody can find a blind squirrel can find a nut once every 10 years, but you got to prove it over and over again. You know, I mean.
Yeah, when you put him up against, you put Kiffin up against Saban, just say for an example, and you give an SEC, this is where the depth, it really is going to hurt them in a war. Say if Alabama plays USC for the national title. First of all, you can't compare Lane Kiffin to Nick Saban, first of all. There's not even a comparison. Saban showed you what he could do in a month after preparing. But in a game, a war like that, the way Alabama runs the football and plays smash mouth and really challenges your manhood up front, that's when the depth is going to come into play for Southern Cal. So by then, maybe they can get some of these younger guys to step up. But at the end of the day, Alabama's rotating in four and five-star athletes at every position, 3D at least. So that's the difference. And Southern Cal, you can be good. You can beat up the Patsies in the Pac-12. But at the end of the day, if you don't have depth, just like you said, Everett, they don't have a shot to win it. So having them at 3, I'm not going to really complain about that. But having them number 1, I have a big problem with.
Yeah, I don't think they've done anything to earn a number 1 ranking. So, you know, just because Matt Barkley's your quarterback, don't mean you deserve to be ranked number 1. And like I said, I think he's probably the best quarterback in college. But
Well, so was Colt McCoy a couple of years ago too, right?
Yeah. But I mean, I thought Barkley was better than Luck last year. I mean, that was just my opinion. I mean, Luck was good. I'm not saying he wasn't good. I'm just saying I thought Barkley was better.
You look at the receivers he had, Everett. Though, I mean, those guys. Was it Robert Woods? Is that the guy's name for Southern Cal?
Yeah.
I mean, probably the best receiver, one of them in the country, and Tennessee had some too. I mean, Andrew Luck, all he had to throw to was a tight end, and he still did it. So you're probably right. Barkley, he looks better as a quarterback than Luck. So what we're going to see this year. So he came back, gave up first round NFL money for a reason. So I think he really thinks they have a shot to win this thing.
And if they can survive, they do have a shot. I mean, if they can survive, if Kiffin don't shoot him in the leg.
But I'm going to tell you, Everett, where the death is going to come into play, and anybody that wants to chime in, let us know on the message boards, whatever, in the chat room. You know, when you talk about depth for Southern Cal, look at Oregon. When you're playing Oregon and they rotate everybody on their team, even the mascots out there running people down, I mean, you're going to have trouble with those guys. So Southern Cal beat them last year. I think Oregon was too pumped up for that game, and they got back in it, you know, turning the ball over, and Southern Cal was just too much for them with the receivers, Robert Woods. So, I mean, look at this game now. Even if it's at the Coliseum, there's a chance that USC is going to have to play Oregon twice. They're going to play them once in the regular season at the Coliseum, and then they play them in the Pac-12 championship game. That Pac-12 championship game is already set in stone, guys. There's no chance of getting two other teams besides those two in that conference. So even if Oregon loses that first game, you still have to beat them again.
Yeah, and that'll probably take one of them out of that'll probably take the one that wins. Quite possibly could be a shot at the championship, even if the other one won the regular season match. So that could be a scenario similar to what you had last year with Alabama and LSU meeting in the championship game, with the only exception being they didn't meet in the conference championship. But most likely, it's not going to matter who wins that first game. What's going to matter is who wins the second game.
Yep, you're right. And that's what it boils down to. And number two in the coaches, you have Alabama, LSU number one. The only problem I have with this, and everybody let me know on the message boards, and we're getting a lot of chimes talking about Georgia. Bruce is talking about Georgia. Corey Bird's talking about Georgia. But we're going to talk about them in just a second. But Everett, Alabama is returning an entire offensive line, one of the best in the country, and a quarterback that's proven. LSU has a lot of talent, no quarterback that's proven. How is LSU ranked ahead of Alabama?
Well, you know, we talked about this, and here we are back to my you got to earn it scenario. And we've talked about quarterbacks in the SEC and quarterbacks having good seasons in the pros, and we've argued and we've cussed and fought and disagreed and agreed. And, you know, until you show me that Mettenberger can survive against somebody other than his own team in practice, I can't rank you number one. I don't care. You've got to have a quarterback that can win you a game somewhere along the line in the SEC. And until he proves, I don't care how hard he throws it. I don't care how accurate he is. And I'll give you a good for instance of somebody who proved his mettle to me in one single football game against my football team. I actually felt sorry for the guy, and I think you did too. Tyler Wilson from Arkansas took an absolute brutalization. I mean, he had everything done to him that you could possibly do to a human being that's not against the law. I mean, he was absolutely beat to death and kept getting up and kept coming back. LSU's own team is not going to do that to Mettenberger. He's not going to get hit in practice like he will when he lines up against Alabama or Auburn or Georgia or whoever. South Carolina, he's not going to get hit in practice that way. Can he survive in a game where he's getting pummeled and you've got NFL talent coordinators throwing different packages and different blitzes and different coverages and disguising coverages? Is he going to be able to stand back there under pressure and be able to pick a defense apart? And until he proves it, I'm sorry. You know, I don't care if it's my own son. Until you prove you can do it, you ain't earning the credit for me. And I just, you know, he may be the best quarterback in the SEC this year when it's all said and done. But until he proves it, I can't put him there. I would rather see USC, as big an SEC fan as I am, I would rather see USC there than I would LSU. Because I know USC's got a proven quarterback. I know Alabama's got a proven quarterback. You know, I mean, until you prove it, you ain't showed me anything. You ain't proved anything to me except that you can throw a football with nobody coming at you.
Well, you're getting a lot of love in the chat room, Big E. Somebody said you were an Auburn fan in here, but you're making sense. But Big E's an Alabama fan, by the way. And Smelly said he's waiting for someone to say that Bama's D is young and inexperienced. Smelly, Alabama's defense is young and inexperienced.
Well,
here he comes. this chat room is blowing up tonight, but everybody's agreeing with what you're saying. And LSU, Corey Bird in the chat room, LSU has a great offensive line and all five return. That is true, but the big difference is that quarterback, man. That's the big difference. And I think when you compare Alabama and LSU, I think Alabama's defense will be, I mean, inexperienced. I mean, they played a lot last year in some of those games they were up big in. But I still think LSU's defense might be just a little better early in the season. But by the time they play in November, I don't know. I mean, will Saban have those guys ready to rock and roll? I don't think Saban wants to allow those guys to do what they did in 2010, losing three games. And when Alabama played Auburn in the Iron Bowl, Alabama was favored. That's how good Alabama was in Vegas's eyes. And, you know, you're favored with two losses, 5.5 points over the number one team in the country that hasn't lost a game. So that ought to tell you something about how good Alabama was on a year that everybody was saying they were down. They were going to be down. They lost three games. They didn't have much leadership, and they had a lot of injuries. So I think Saban's going to use that to their advantage.
Well, you know as well as I do, we've talked about all this before. The Alabama team that lost in the second half to Auburn and lost three games that year beat the Big Ten team that tied for number one in the Big Ten. What was it, 49-7, 49-10? But they were held.
Yeah.
The injuries and the team was beat up pretty much after the third week of the season. They were beat up and had a lot of injuries that cost them wins. Cost them those three losses throughout the season. However, the talent was there, and it was proven that the talent was there when they got healthy and played in the Capital One Bowl. Now, the talent's there this year. Alabama fans better look out for number 33. I believe he'll probably step in the Hightower spot. But the question by the time, like you said, November's a long way. November's almost a season. Those guys won't be rookies. They won't be rookies by November. That'll be if they're healthy and don't have key injuries like they did in 2010, that will be a good defense by the time they play LSU. It will not be an inexperienced defense.
I think it's going to be good anyway. You got to remember, Saban's hand-picking talent for the last 4 years, whatever it is, five-star athletes to play in that defense. I mean, even some of the best athletes in the country are having a red shirt. And it's the same with LSU, but I would give Saban a nod in recruiting these guys and being able to tell what he wants to fit in his 3-4 system. And my God, I mean, even in 2010, it was one of the best defenses I've ever seen. And that's saying, I mean, they had Cam Newton so baffled, Auburn didn't even get a first down to almost halftime. And that's one of the number one offenses in the country. So I think Alabama's going to be very good this year. I mean, I hate to say that. I want to say, hey, I think they're going to be terrible, you know. I want them to lose every game. I could say that, but it's just not going to happen like that.
Well, you know, the thing about Alabama is, you know, like you said, the talent was there in 2010. The talent's there this year. the difference was in 2010 was, and it might be the same this year. You never know. You don't know about injuries and stuff like that. But Saban did say the other day that this was, out of all the teams he's had at Alabama, this was the most prepared coming into practice of any team he's ever had. So they, if he's got them brainwashed, which I don't think it's brainwashed, and I think he's right. I think content breeds failure. The more content you are with where you are, the more likely you are to fail. And when you stop driving, and he's finally ingrained that in these kids' head that they haven't earned anything this year because they were national champions last year. They haven't earned anything. All they've learned is respect and a top five ranking. And, you know, that could all go away after Michigan if they don't come in prepared. So, you know, a loss to Michigan would ruin the season. I don't think that's going to happen. But
Yeah. It would. I think it would hurt the confidence of those young guys. And we're going to break down a couple of teams right in the top ten, and then I think Sonya's wanting to get in. We're going to get her, Jason, in. You know, when I looked at number six, Everett, it just shocked me when I saw this. Georgia Bulldogs sitting here at number six. And I know you're in love with Mark Richt, Everett. I know a lot of people are. He's a good man and everything, but I'm going to tell you something about Georgia this year, that their offensive line concerns me. The defense is going to be right up there with the LSUs and Alabamas almost, South Carolinas. But looking at Georgia's offensive line, losing Crowell, their All-American running back, how's Georgia going to win SEC games with no offensive line, Big E?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how any team wins a game with no offensive line. It's virtually impossible in the SEC to win a game without a good offensive line. I think Georgia will be good. I don't think they'll be great. I think South Carolina is probably the favorite, in my opinion. I think the loss of Crowell hurts them because he is a dynamic, game-breaking type running back. Now, I think they'll be okay. From what I understand, they've moved a guy that had moved to linebacker or safety or something, and they've moved him back to running back. So I think they'll be okay at running back, but I don't know what they've got on the offensive line, like you said. So I guess it depends on how well they develop. You know, they've got a fairly easy schedule, in my opinion. They've got the easiest schedule. They don't have to play Alabama. They don't have to play LSU. The only real teams they have to beat is Auburn and South Carolina. A lot of people think Florida might beat them this year, but I don't think that'll happen. I think Florida will be better next year, but I don't think it'll happen this year. I don't think Florida will beat Georgia this year. But if they survive South Carolina and Auburn, you know, they got as good a shot as anybody in the East at getting to into Atlanta, and maybe Missouri.
Yeah.
I mean, Missouri might give them a hard time. I don't know. I don't know how good Missouri's going to be. They're newcomers. I'm not doling out respect to them just yet either. So,
yeah, I look at Georgia and I just see, you know, they have suspensions early in the season. That road game at Missouri is not going to be a cakewalk going on the road there early in the season. Georgia seems like a team that gets better over time. Last season, they played their toughest two games. In the first two games of the year, they got manhandled by Boise, and they lost at home to South Carolina. And then, honestly, the best team they played in their schedule the rest of the way was Auburn, you know, 7-5, you know, rebuilding year. So,
well, now, you
and,
know,
then,
you know,
and then LSU killed them.
You know, the South Carolina game got moved to like the 6th or 7th week, I believe. So that's no longer a first of the season game. Because they go to Missouri like the second game of the year, don't they? Second or third game?
Yeah, second game of the year they go to Missouri. And that quarterback for, what's his name, Franklin from Missouri, he's not someone you want to take lightly.
No, but like you said, Georgia's defensive speed on the defensive side of the ball will probably give him some problems. You know, I mean, he won't – be used to seeing speed like that on defenses every week, like you know, like you would in the Big 12, where they don't play a lot of defense. But
yeah, and you know, looking at Florida State's at 7, I think this might be the season, guys, that Florida State can actually win the ACC and contend for a national championship. Their defense is stout. I don't know about their quarterback play. I'm not very convinced on him. I mean, they have good skill players everywhere. What do you think about Florida State this year?
Well, they lost Greg Reed. That's a key loss.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, so, you know, that's a good cover corner right there. He has the ability to intercept a pass, take it back for a pick six. He's a good returner, so, you know, that hurts him. But the ACC, I'm sorry. Give me a break. You know, they're not relevant in the national championship picture, and I can care less who wins it. But, you know, NC State, you know, Florida State, Miami, Clemson, you know, they cannot play with the big boys. I don't care who you line them up with, whether it be SEC, Pac-12, Big 12. You know, you line them up with anybody in those three conferences, and they're going to get it handed to them, in my opinion. And they're not relevant until they prove, you know, by playing somebody during the regular season and then winning their conference and making it to a bowl game and winning the bowl game against a team that the caliber of defenses like you see in the SEC and you know, proving it, then they're not relevant, in my opinion. The Big East is not relevant. Give me a break. You know, they're not going to beat anybody that's worth a crap. So, you know, they play fun and gun, throw it too many times a game football, and, you know, I might be, call me old school. I want to see defense and run the football. Mix in your passes, throw it on first down, throw to the tight ends, you know, that kind of football. And until somebody from the ACC or the Big East shows me that they can do that and play it, and do it against a good football team, a good defensive football team, I don't give them any credit. I don't see you having Florida State in the top 10. 12.
Well, Everett, I'm gonna bring Sonya in right quick. She wants in. What's going on, Sonya?
What's up, sweetie?
Vince
is in the house.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Jason. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing good.
Hey, Big E.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm loving that. Roll Tide Roll, baby. You need to have him on every week.
Okay. No, he's an Alabama fan. I can't allow that.
No, that's what I'm saying. He, me, one of us. Something's got to line this
up. I have to have someone Alabama to be on here just to keep me honest, keep me neutral, you know.
And we're perfect.
All right, Sonya and Jason, going through this top 10, what do you see that stands out to you? Who's overrated, who's underrated?
Okay, I'll speak first because I think Michigan is way overrated. And I posted in chat, I can't believe that they're ranked higher than Wisconsin. I think given head-to-head, Wisconsin playing Michigan, either at Michigan or in Wisconsin, Wisconsin wins that game. that's just unbelievable. And then on top of that, I put Arkansas and South Carolina ahead of them.
Yep.
Yeah, no, the only thing about that, Arkansas is going to have to prove to me. I know Tyler Wilson's a good quarterback, and I know they've got I can't think of the running back's name coming
Miles
back.
Miles Davis.
That Miles Davis. I just, until I see what John L. Smith does, you know, is he going to drop the hand grenade at his feet, or is he going to chunk it to the other sideline?
There you go. Well, I mean, I'm under the opinion that any team in the Big Ten doesn't deserve to be in the top 10 at this point. And the reason why I say that is I watched quite a bit of Michigan last year. They didn't impress me. And Sonny and I even watched the Michigan-Ohio State game again when we were jonesing for some football.
Fell asleep.
And basically, I mean, I look at Denard Robinson, and the dude can't throw a football. I mean, he can't.
He's not throwing footballs. He's throwing dying quails. He's got a whole covey of quail over on the sideline. Every time he goes,
we get into this argument with Michigan fans, but you know, agreed, Denard Robinson's got some legs, but he's going to need those legs to be running away from that D.
That's right.
They're not going to. Do you honestly think they're going to run on Bama?
No. That you know, 14 points is not enough. That is not enough for Michigan. If you bet on football, you better take Bama because they are going to absolutely tie the shoestring or shoelace in a knot. And he has no idea what he's walking into.
I guarantee you, Bama wins the toss for that game. They'll give Michigan the ball to kick him in the teeth. To kick him literally in the teeth the first series. And Michigan's going to get an eye-opener. And they're going to do the, well, oh, crap. I mean, it's going to be, to me, I think it's going to be over in the first and second quarter. They're going to realize what they're up against. Playing Bama is not playing someone in the Big Ten. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. And Tarvin, you know me. I mean, I grew up in Big Ten country. I grew up watching the Big Ten, live and die by the Big Ten. But I've lived in SEC country for 14 years, and I've witnessed the type of football they play down here. It is a different animal.
Yep.
A different animal. And there's a reason why the SEC has been so dominant. And, you know, and I maintain, I think at this point the Big Ten sees that. And I think the Big Ten is switching to that three-deep defense, and they're building towards defense. You see Hoke is starting to do that.
Well, Meyer.
Meyer's going to do that in Ohio State. My coach Kill's already doing it. He's got a long ways to go. He's only two deep, but he wants to get to three deep because he knows that that's the only way to contend and compete. So looking at that top 10, I really don't give it a lot of credence. I don't really look at that ranking really until week 4. And Sonny and I were just talking about this, that, you know, they got LSU ahead of Bama. We're fine with that because you know that preseason 1 jinx. So we're happy to be at number 2.
Yep. All right, next. Go ahead. We're putting away the soapbox. Go ahead, Tarvin.
All right, Sonya, who do you think, looking at it, who are you looking at in the top 10 that's overrated?
Let's see. Let me go down this list. Just in the top 10?
Yeah.
Michigan.
Georgia.
Oklahoma. Michigan. Let me see.
Georgia.
Yeah. I was saving that one for last. Killing my thunder, dude.
She always chokes.
Georgia, definitely. Yeah. No offense. And I've got friends, just so everybody knows, I have very good friends who are fans of every one of these teams. But we're being realistic. I'm sorry. Georgia at number 6? Give me a break. Michigan at number 8? Another break. In USC, even though I love my boy Avery, and I totally understand with the whole recruit, all of that, not number 3.
Yeah, I'm not sold either on Southern Cal. I mean, I have to see them do something besides give up a ton of points and play like the Powder Puff League.
Yeah, and so, Florida State, if you look at FSU, we watched Florida State so many times lose to themselves last year. They have yet to play a complete game yet. I'm sorry, they don't. They just, it's like, play a complete game. Show up for all 4 quarters.
Well, you know Florida State's that team that always loses to the NC State after a big win. Or, you know, they're undefeated going on the road to Virginia or something, they'll lose. Florida State can never play an entire season. And it's been a long time since they have, and I think people are confused with the old Florida State back in the Bobby Bowden days when they were good till now. I just don't see Jimbo Fisher being that coach that can take him. But, this is his year. This is his year if he wants to.
Yeah, it's his make or break.
Yep.
Georgia, he would be my – Georgia, as Biggie said. I'm for real. I don't know who did this. Maybe they got, like, you know, some a new bottle of moonshine or something when they were doing this, but – Georgia at number six. Come on, man. First, you got to go out and get your recruits out of the Clark County Jail before you can do anything.
Well, what y'all got to understand, Georgia has talent, but that's not why they're ranked in the top 10. And I don't think they're top 10 material. I really don't. They have talent, but the reason why they're ranked in the top 10 is their schedule is easy.
That's the only reason.
That's the only reason why they're there. You know,
exactly.
I think Texas should be higher, though, in my opinion.
Not me. I got to see what their quarterbacks are. Y'all may can tell by listening to me. I put a lot of stock in how the quarterback manages a game and either wins or loses the game.
Oh, I do too. Mm-hmm. I do too. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I mean, Texas is always that team that starts out like Oklahoma, Everett. They're always overrated. And, you know, last couple of years, Texas has just been horrible. And I think it's time for Mack Brown to be gone. What do you think?
I think he's ready for the nut house. I don't think he's got an edge anymore. I think he's stumbling around like Paterno did the last 5 or 6 years of his coaching career. You know, I don't think he knows whether he's at practice or at lunch. So
you got it, and I totally agree with what you were saying, Big E, about Mettenberger. And I'm like you, a quarterback in practice is not a quarterback in the game.
When you're running for your life.
Yeah. Running against your own teammates is totally different than running from a Bama defense, an LSU defense. I mean, it's a totally different ballgame.
I'm going to tell you, you know, if you don't have any respect for what Alabama did, if you don't have any respect for Tyler Wilson after him getting up time after time after time,
yep,
2 years ago, if you don't have respect for him, you don't know anything about football. Because that boy should have beat. I mean, that was true. That's what you call true heart. When you see a kid get hit that hard that many times and kept coming back, he refused to quit. He was upset when they wouldn't let him come back in the game when the game was over with. I mean,
it's the same reference as what the Saints did to Favre in that championship game.
Yeah.
They beat him to hell, but he kept wanting to come back even when his ankle was bloody. He still wanted to come in and play. That's a warrior. Same deal.
That's what you want.
That's what you want. You want heart.
Yeah. The thing about Mettenberger, guys, is what I'm hearing about him, and I don't know much about him, but from people that watch him play, his footwork's not very good. And you have to admit, in the SEC, if you do not have good footwork, you're going to be taken off in a stretcher probably.
We were talking about that on the board, Tarvin and Pride, about when you compare the size of him, he's not agile. He's almost like just a big clunky. He's got to learn that agility, and I don't think that he has it.
He'd do all right, though, if that line can protect him, though.
If he can stay in the pocket.
But that's the key, and he can't be jittery. He has to stay in that pocket and take a hit. I don't think he's a quarterback that can run and throw.
Yep. Hey, I want y'all's opinions before I have to let you go. I want Jason and Sonia, I want y'all to tell me about this team that I'm thinking could make some noise this year. They're new to the Big 12, West Virginia. What do you think about West Virginia, Jason?
I like them. I mean, they got a good offense. Again, you know, I look at defense. I mean, they're a little suspect on defense, but, you know, it's there for them to take it. I mean, you know, honestly, you know, I agree with Big E. I mean, Texas is a question. Oklahoma, well, they remind me of Georgia. So they'll be right up there, 3, and it's theirs to take if they want that Big 12.
Yeah, Sonia, what do you think? I'm big on them this year.
I think they're going to definitely show, you know, they'll make their, I'm looking at their schedule now, that's what was taking my head to pull up their schedule. They got Marshall, James Madison, Maryland, Baylor, Texas, Texas Tech, KSU, TCU, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Iowa State, and Kansas. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
They'll be all right.
The coach for West Virginia, I can't even think of his name right now.
Holgerson.
Yeah. I want you to see why he, and I know it's Clemson and an ACC defense. Did you see what Geno Smith did to the Clemson defense last year? They put up 70, I think it was the third quarter, and then they put the cheerleaders in to finish it off. But this guy is an offensive genius. He is an offensive coach that people are ignoring right now, and I think it's because they're moving to the Big 12 and they came from the Big East. But I'm going to tell you, I've watched West Virginia play, and these guys are good. They
no, I actually do. I have respect for West Virginia, to be serious. And the thing is, just tell them, just if they can get away from burning those couches, we'll be good.
Tarvin, Sonny and I were literally shocked when we watched that Clemson-West Virginia game. Because we literally looked at each other and did the WTF. We could not believe what we were seeing, because it's almost like Clemson self-imploded.
Yeah.
And then they just gave up after they were down by like 20 points.
But I agree with you. West Virginia is a team to watch.
Yeah.
But we'll stay on. Yeah. I know you got to bring some other people on. We'll stay on and listen. We're still in the chat room.
Hey, do me a favor, Sonya. Click hit number one once you go off, and then when you want to come back on, hit number one again, okay?
All right, sweetie.
All right. Thanks, Jason and Sonya. We really enjoyed having you.
Okay, all sweetie. Right. Bye.
All right, Quinn, you're up. What's going on, Quinn?
Hey, I'm doing good, but I wanted to stir the pot a little bit about what you guys in the top 10 about overrated and underrated. I think Alabama's overrated. I think Georgia's overrated. I think Michigan's overrated. And I think Arkansas is overrated. And I think South Carolina is underrated.
Go ahead, Brian.
No, you go ahead, Everett. I got you.
I was just going to ask him. I guess he's a South Carolina fan.
Nope.
Well, he's an Auburn fan and a Notre Dame fan.
Oh, well, Lord, is he confused?
Nope, I'm not confused, but I know Alabama's going to have two losses this season. Bank on that.
Who are they going to lose to? I know LSU's one of them. Who's the other one?
LSU, and there's going to be another team, whether it's Auburn or somebody else, but they're going to have another loss.
Look, I'm an Alabama fan, and I'm not saying that Alabama won't have two losses. That's entirely possible. You know, I mean, in the SEC, you can have the best team and still lose games. It's not a given that just because you got the best team, you're going to win. But they're not overrated. Until somebody beats them, they're exactly where they need to be. And I think Brian, being an Auburn fan, will agree with
me. Yes, Quinn, what do you see about Alabama, really, though, that really makes you think they are overrated? Honestly, what do you see?
Well, I think that we, you know, Bama fans can say all they want. Oh, Lacey will step up and take Richardson's spot, and all these guys haven't really even got to play, first of all. Second of all, they're going to have in their heads that they think they're the best, and I think they'll have that mindset. And third of all, they'll have a big target on their back, and I don't think in football anytime soon that a team will repeat, and I think Bammers have to realize that.
All right, Everett, go ahead, bud.
It don't matter who's in the backfield. That's the best offensive line in the country. You could put my mama back there, and she could run for 150 yards. It ain't going to matter. All that's going to matter.
It isn't going to matter.
The only thing that's going to matter this year is whether Alabama's defense gets experience fast enough. The talent's over there. If the experience comes, they'll be undefeated. And I'm telling you why, because this year the offense can put up 50 a game. Last year they didn't have to do that defense.
You guys like to talk about defensive lines. So you're saying that no defensive line will be able to do anything against Alabama's offensive line?
That's the best offensive line in the country. Whether there's somebody can do something against them or not, I don't know. LSU's got a good shot because they got a good defensive line. But that is the best offensive line in the country.
Hey, Quinn, I have somebody wanting to talk to you right now. Sonya's back. She had to come back in for this.
Quinn.
I want Chris Smelly to get on here.
You going to do what? You going to do what? Boy, if you don't take your vitamins, say your prayers, and change your pull-up and go to bed, all that noise you talking. Go to bed.
Nope. That was everything I had to want.
Quinn, I love you, but sweetie, there is no way. No way that any of what you say it makes any kind of sense in the real world.
Well, to me, it made sense.
Like I said, the real world.
Hey, Quinn, you ain't been hanging around the honey badger, have you?
Quinn, I love you for real. I just had to come and mess with you because you're like, nobody's good. No. Sweetie,
what
do you think? What do you think your Tigers are
going to
do?
What are your Auburn Tigers going to do? They're going to tear up Bama's offensive line. I know that.
Okay. We talking about real football, not EA Sports. So tell me, what in the real world, what are your Tigers going to do?
11-1
Yep. I'm not saying that. 9-3 or 10-2
Who's that one?
Who is that? Alabama A&M takes them.
Okay, you're in the real world.
Yeah, but anyway, Quinn, look at it, and thanks, Sonya, for coming back on and clearing all this up.
Okay, sweetie, you guys finished. I just wanted to say that to Quinn. Bye, Quinn. Have a good one.
Bye, you too.
Quinn, honestly, I don't know. Looking at Arkansas, you said they were overrated. Why are they overrated?
Why do you think, Brian? They have a new coach, first of all, which Arkansas fans think the team can run itself. Bobby Petrino was a big part of that explosive offense that could put up points. Second of all, their defense is suspect.
Yep.
That's always been the case.
That's
always been the case with Arkansas. They've never played SEC-caliber defense. You do know who the offensive coordinator is now at Arkansas, though, right, Quinn?
His brother.
So, offensively, I think they'll be fine. I don't know about their receiving core. They've lost some good receivers last year, and one of them or two of them got arrested for robbing somebody, I think. But that'll be a question mark. But their question mark will always and has always been, as long as they've been in the SEC, their defense. Their defense is not LSU, Alabama, Auburn, used to be Auburn, Georgia, used to be Georgia defense. They're not in that caliber. Florida, it's South Carolina plays really good defense too. So yeah, I'm with you. I think South Carolina is probably should be higher than. I think they should probably be sixth instead of Florida State. I do not think Michigan should even be in the top 15 though.
I agree with you, Michigan. Has overrated written all over it. They're gonna lose in week one, and then they're gonna lose in week four.
Probably a lot more than that.
Alabama's gonna take care of them.
Yep, and then a lot more.
That won't be an issue after the first week with Michigan, but I think South Carolina's probably underrated. I don't discount Arkansas until we see. You know what John L. Smith is going to do if he's going to try to put his stamp on this football team and screw it up, or if he lets Paul Petrino call the plays, and I don't even know who the defensive coordinator is at Arkansas, but that, like I said, that'll always be the question mark at Arkansas until they change their way of thinking and learn to play defense. That'll be the issue at Arkansas. I think they'll be fine offensively though.
Quinn, you got anything else for us before we move on, sir?
No, but I might call back in if I find something.
Well, I'll tell you this. Stay on the line. Once you get off, hit number one to get off the queue, and if you walk back in, you can hit number one, okay?
All right.
All right, thanks, man. Enjoy the call.
Yep.
All right, we're going to the phone lines real quick. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
It's Corey.
Hey, Corey, what's on your mind tonight? I hope Vanderbilt's not on your mind.
Yeah, but I'm going to get to them later.
Okay, what you got for me?
Where do I begin at the Quinn?
Tyrant. I don't know about Quinn now.
I told you, I think Quinn's been hanging around the Honey Badger.
He became my new favorite guy of all time tonight.
Hey, Corey, are you listening to the show in the background?
Yeah.
Can you turn it off?
You didn't turn it down.
Turn it down? Yeah, turn it down for me while you're talking.
You sound good, bro.
Oh yeah, I sounded sexy over there, didn't I?
I don't know about that, buddy.
Silverback and a honey badger. All right, Corey, what you got for us, bud?
I hate LSU being number one.
Why is that?
I despise it. Because last time they were ranked this high, being in the national championship game, they tanked that next season after. I wish they were like number three or four or something. Put Alabama number one.
Corey, tell me about Mettenberger, man. What does the LSU crowd and fans and all the coaches think about this guy? Do you think he's good enough to win a national championship? I know he has to be better than Jarrett Lee and that other fool Jefferson you had.
He couldn't be any worse.
Yeah.
But for what I've been seeing and hearing, he's very accurate. He can throw the deep ball, which can stretch out a defense. Unlike last season, we couldn't throw for nothing. We had to run the ball all the time to win games. I think there's a sense of balance.
Yeah, I'm just not. I'm with Everett when it comes to the co-host, by the way. Is you know, in order to be effective in the SEC, you have to have some kind of experience. And I just don't know about this guy. I mean, nobody knows. It's almost like Cam Newton. Nobody knows. He transferred. He comes in and he does his magic. I don't know if Mettenberger is going to be that good. But looking at LSU's team, Corey, I really don't think he has to be that great in order for them to win it all. I think all he has to do is not make mistakes.
Yeah, I agree. You just have to manage the game.
Yeah.
Like Matt Flynn did a few years ago.
Oh yeah, but I mean that was a different story. Matt Flynn had a good head on his shoulders, and I don't know about Mettenberger. I don't know, but I was talking to Corey earlier in the week. It might have been a couple of days ago or over the weekend. And, Corey, you said Vanderbilt was going to win 10 games this year. Am I correct? Is that what you said?
If they beat South Carolina the first game of the year, I think they can pull it off.
So, well, what is – just tell me. And I'm not saying you're 100% wrong. I don't think you're right, but I've been wrong a lot in my life. So, tell me what's different between the – from this Vanderbilt team compared to all the years past?
They have a good coaching staff, and the coach has done a phenomenal job with them. And they return a lot of starters. I mean, I don't know.
Starters are like, but Vanderbilt, though, with the recruiting, it'd be different if these guys were big, talented athletes. I do think they have a good quarterback, but you're returning a lot of starters that – maybe you're not the best athletes in the world. And I'm just saying, that's what the initial thought is in my head. I'm not saying you're wrong or anything. I'm just saying, when I look at him, I just don't see Vanderbilt being a threat, really, in the SEC.
I mean, they got a pretty favorable schedule as well. They avoid Arkansas, LSU, and Alabama, which is huge.
So that's kind of like Georgia, you know, avoiding those three teams.
And Georgia. They always play pansy out-of-conference schedule.
They do. So, looking at Vanderbilt, do you think they'll beat Auburn in Vanderbilt?
It's a possibility, but I would say no to that one.
They did it a few years ago. I remember, I think it was back in 2007, maybe 2006, around in that time, Auburn went to Vanderbilt and lost. So that was the last time Vanderbilt was relevant of last year. But I think this Franklin character for Vanderbilt's I just think he's a mouth. I don't think he's a great coach. I think he's more of a good recruiter because he can talk good and BS a lot of people. But I just don't think he's that coach that's going to take Vanderbilt anywhere higher than fourth in the East. What do you think about what do you think about his coaching ability? You said they have a good coaching staff. Who do they have that really impresses you?
I think their head coach. I mean, they believe in this guy. Which in years past, no one believed in Vanderbilt or the coaching staff. I don't think the players did. They actually believe in this guy.
Yeah. I mean, they believe in him. But it just seems like to me, I mean, like after the Georgia game last year, he got in a – Everett, do you remember when he almost got in a fight with the Georgia coach?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the Tennessee, he was mad at Dooley for saying they always kick the crap out of Tennessee or out of Vanderbilt every year. I just think he just needs to be more of a mature coach in a way and not be such a hothead and react to everything someone does. I think that's going to hurt him down the line.
That's true. I think another reason, Vanderbilt's going up and up, and I think people are going to overlook them. They can shock the world. I'm not saying they're going to be national champions or go to a BCS bowl, but I think they can go to a pretty decent decent bowl game.
Yeah, my God. Hey, Corey, you got anything else, buddy, before we change gears? Anything you want to share with us?
Levin, never let Sonya ever say Roll Tide Roll on radio again. That should be banned.
I'm going to ban that tonight. As of today, no more Roll Tide Roll. How about Roll Tide?
No.
Okay. Everett, is that okay with you, bud?
That is not okay with me unless we replace it with Rammer Jammer.
That works for me.
All right, man. Corey, we're going to go to the phone lines. But, man, thanks for calling in, man. We enjoyed you.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care, man. All right. 985 area code. You're on Way In Sports. Who's this?
This is Janine. How are you? War Eagle.
Oh, War Eagle. Janine, what's going on?
Oh, nothing. It's good to hear your voice finally. And it's good to be on your show. I'm finally glad I got connected with you. And I just wanted to say War Eagle and I wanted to tell you how I feel about LSU being number one.
So hold on, Janine. You and your husband are big. You live in LSU, correct? In New Orleans that way?
Oh yes, we live an hour away from Baton Rouge, LSU country. Yes.
Okay, so tell me all about LSU. How you feel?
Oh my gosh, let me just start. I think I'm living here 20 plus years. It's just, to me, being an Auburn fan, faithfully, I bleed orange and blue. You know, my family went to Auburn. My mom and dad went to Auburn. My grandparents went to Auburn. Cousins. My son is going to Auburn. And living here in LSU, near LSU, it's horrible seeing purple and gold every single day. Everywhere I turn, there's purple and gold on a shirt or on a car or truck, and I cannot stand it. It's just... Oh, it really irks my nerves, you know, knowing that, you know, once again, they're you know, ranked number one preseason, and they haven't won a national championship in 2 years. It just, it makes me very angry, and I just, that's how I feel.
Well, 2 years.
Yeah, you know, Janine, you know, this year I'm hoping that after the LSU game that's played in Auburn, that you can walk outside, go to Walmart, wherever you go, with your Auburn shirt on, and I don't think you'll see a lot of purple and gold if that's the case.
Oh, I hope not, because I really hope it's payback this year. I really do. I am so ready for this game. I'm ready to kick their butt. And, I mean, you know, I have all my LSU, I wouldn't call them friends, but they're always on me, you know, down here. Why do you like Auburn? And I always have to explain myself. And, you know, why aren't you an LSU fan? Well, you know, I bleed orange and blue. I love Auburn. And I'm a faithful follower, and I always will be. So it's nice to talk to y'all.
Hey, it would be. Let me ask you a question real quick before you go.
Okay.
Would it suit you for Alabama and Auburn to be undefeated going into the Iron Bowl?
Yeah, definitely.
So that would make you feel better. I want this documented, Brian. This is the first Auburn fan I've talked to in like 2 years that said they wanted Alabama to win against LSU.
I mean, okay, this is a deal. I'm going to probably get rid of ridicule by my Auburn friends and the ones that are listening.
Don't do
but
that now.
I've been living here 20 plus years, and like I said, everywhere I turn are LSU fans. And, I mean, I went to a game there a few years ago with my parents who are 60, you know, in their late 60s, and, you know, we're tailgating at an LSU game, and LSU fans came by and threw beer on us and spit on us. So, technically, I've never been to an Iron Bowl. I would love to go. I never have been. It is on my definite to-do list, my bucket list, but I would say that, and I cannot stand Les Miles. He is a joke, and so is the Honey Badger. I'm sorry. I just cannot stand them. That's all I hear. And I just,
Well, Janine, you live in LSU in that area. I mean, you don't have to see Alabama fans every day. You don't have to hear them. I'm in Georgia now. I don't have to hear Alabama fans every day. It's almost the Georgia fans I don't like the most now. It changes depending on where you live. Would you agree with that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think that if I did live in Alabama, and once I do move to Alabama, that will be in about 4 or 5 years. Like I said, my son plans to attend Auburn. And I think once I do move there, things will change probably. My hatred will probably go toward Alabama. But now, since I'm here in Louisiana, I hear it, I see it, and I despise it. I mean, actually, I look at the newspaper, and I have to see a picture of Les Miles on there. I mean, that is just disgusting to me. I'm sorry.
not as disgusting as the Les Miles picture of him playing in his short shorts and basketball on ESPN. You remember that?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And what is up with that hand clapping thing he does? What is that all about? You know, the hand clap thing he does? Oh, my God. I mean, golly. The guy needs, I don't know. I wish he would have gone to Michigan when they would have offered him a job. I mean, when they offered him a job, I wish he would have gone, you know, I wish he would have taken it because I just can't stand to see the dude's face.
He's got one of those clap-off.
No, number one. I mean, come on.
Yes, exactly. I don't like Les Miles at all. I know people disagree with me sometimes. I think he's probably one of the bottom-tier coaches in the conference. LSU is so talented. I could coach LSU and get you 10 wins per year, and I promise you that. So, I mean, he's a good person, pretty good recruiter, but, I mean, Nick Saban built that, it seems like. And Janine, I just want to thank you for the call. Anything else?
Yeah, I just wanted to say one more thing. I think a lot of the reason why they are number one, a big reason, huge reason, is because of the tourism here in New Orleans. I mean, I think that plays a big, politics into the politics thing. I think that's part of it as well.
Yeah. And Bruce says on the chat room, he says Les Miles is a lucky man. And I remember when they won their national title, he went for it on fourth down like 18 times in a row and got it. So he is very lucky.
Oh, I know. That's like one of his favorite things to do.
I was in Death Valley, Janine and Everett. Auburn was winning. It was, I think, the year they did win the national title, where Auburn was winning the whole game. They threw that Hail Mary, but about a 35-40-yard pass in the end zone with time expiring. And I was sick after watching that. So I was live. First time I've ever been to Death Valley, and it was a crazy atmosphere. I really enjoyed it, but I was hoping to get a win out of that one.
Yeah, it is a crazy atmosphere, and I'll tell you this, and I'll close on this. I don't think I'll ever go back to another game over there. They've got bad fans everywhere you go, but they really make it hard for you to enjoy the game, win or lose. They really do, and I just don't think I'll ever be back there. But all I got to say is, War Eagle, I hope and I pray that we do well this season, and it was so nice of you to have me on your show, and I appreciate it so much.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, and anytime we want you to come back and join us, and feel free to call in anytime.
All right, thank y'all. Y'all have a good night.
You too.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, Everett, we're about out of time, buddy.
It went fast, man.
It did. It was a good show. I don't think we can go 2 hours tonight on a Monday night, and apologize for those that didn't get to tune in last night. We had to cancel, but this has been a good show. The chat room has been going good. Good callers in. I think I have my grandparents listening tonight, too. They're in Pascagoula, Mississippi. Carol and Buddy Smith, they're listening tonight. So, hello, and I love y'all. I have my father-in-law listening tonight, Bruce. So, Bruce, go Vols. Bruce is ready for Tennessee, Everett, to turn it around. You think they have a shot this year?
A shot at what?
Just by winning 9 games.
I think maybe 8.
Yeah. I think I picked them 9-3, and I think Dooley's going to get them back to where they need to be. I think he's going to depth there. So.
Well, they got a good defensive coordinator, so that'll help. Sunset will be a good coach for them.
Yeah. And, well, everybody in the chat room, thanks for joining us. Remember, follow us on Twitter at Weigh In Sports. You can look at Facebook. Go to facebook.com/weighinsports to look at us. Go to blogtalkradio.com, search Tarvino or Weigh In Sports, and follow us there. So many ways to get in touch with us. If you'd like to be on the show, like to share, just shoot me a message, and we'll get you on. If you've ever been left off the show, we can't get you in, just let me know, and we'll make sure you get on the next time. But thanks, everybody, for listening. And Wednesday night is going to be the next show at 9 p.m. Eastern. So we're looking forward to the show on the short week here. And thanks for joining us. And, Everett, thanks for joining me, man, and have a good week, bud.
You too, buddy. See you next time.
All right, thanks. All right.